Acts 3, no. Oh, it is. Acts 3, 1 to 6. That's the one. Yes, it is. All right, one day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now, a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg for those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave his attention, expecting to get something from them. And Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Pastor?
Thanks, Art. Good morning and welcome, everybody. Welcome to September. Bout it all. Sir, do you remember? Bout it all, dancing in September. I almost brought my Afro, Art. My favorite band was Earth, Wind, and Fire. And if you would have told me a year ago that I would have been dancing in September with people from this church, I would have said, probably not. This weekend, I was visited by Carolyn, Kathy Benson, and Gloria, and Carol. And they came down to go to this concert called Fiddlesticks. And as soon as Fiddlesticks started, boom, the girls were up there rocking out. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, where's my wife? She was there, relax. And we were up there dancing to "Thank God I'm a Country Boy." I would have never, ever assumed that would have happened last year when I started in this glorious place. But it was fun. And I don't know, is Dwight here? I'm going to pick on Dwight Benson. Is he at it? He's not here. Even better. All right, perfect. Dwight's not here. Yeah, Dwight and Kathy aren't here. Don't worry about it. Oh, Sue. You're not supposed to point. They're trying to pretend they're not here. Well, halfway through the night, it's like I see Kathy with this orange blazer. She's rocking out like almost like Michael Jackson. Like she's the girl can dance. Relax, poor John's a little concerned back there. He's going to go into cardiac arrest picturing this. So she's dancing, and I look, and there's someone with a hat on, and I go, oh, no problem. It's a female. So I text Dwight, send him the video. Dwight, your wife's dancing, but don't worry, it's with a girl. Dwight's like, well, that's really comforting. So you're all invited to the GTA to come and visit. Some people have broken the ceiling to come down there. And if you thought I'd be dancing with the mature set, I would have said no. But I had lattes the next day with the Pereira gang. And if you said I'd be with George, who I affectionately call Jorge, and his daughter Elora and the fam, that I would have said, yeah, I'll be doing that. So we had a lot of fun with the parishioners from down here. So come down and see us sometime. It would be great. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourself in the Lord, and your desires will be God-given. A man is being carried to the temple, and he's lame, and he needs a touch from Jesus. And when you come to church at Mount Forest, we want to put the fun back in fundamentalism and take the mental out. So everyone needs a touch from Jesus, and we're just going to be reminded that when Jesus comes and touches you and me, we're never the same. I was at a little Bible camp with my dad, and we met a friend named Ruth Ann, and she touched our hearts. And she loved my 96-year-old dad, and she loved me. And the desire of our heart is to be in friendship with God's people, and God just added someone to our number. And I said, Ruth Ann, why don't you come and sing for us and bless us. Thank you, Ruth Ann.
Good morning. Hey, we got some response. Woohoo! This is a blessed place. When I walked in here this morning, God says this is not only holy ground, but blessed ground. And I just want to say I'm from not out of country, but just in a little place called Kemble, Ontario. And God has blessed us there. I want to share with you this morning a song that Noreen and I are going to sing today. Shackled by a heavy burden. There's a lot of people carrying burdens, but if we give them to Jesus, look out. He'll take them and turn them into his praise. So I give God all the glory this morning, and I thank the Lord for this place that he's brought us to. Thank you. Everybody'd stand, that would be wonderful. And put your hands out, because it's Jesus that's going to touch you. I'm just merely singing you the song. He wants to touch many people here today. So just close your eyes and receive from him. Amen. Thank you, Father. Since I met the blessed Savior, since he cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease to praise him. I'll shout it while eternity. You may be be seated. Thank you.
Thanks, Ruth Ann. Appreciate that. You just never know who God's going to send your way to bless you. And we want everybody to know that as God equips you and gifts you and motivates you and inspires you, you're welcome to be involved in ministry with us in the way God's gifted you. Peter and John went to the temple at the hour of prayer. The Bible says the ninth hour. Peter and John going up to the temple at the ninth hour, the hour of prayer. It just sounds like a normal step in the life experience. But as soon as I hear the words Peter and John, it makes me giggle, because I think of my mom and dad. You could not have brought two more different characters together in marriage like my mom and my dad. And of course, Dad, you didn't do anything that ever irritated Mom, so we can't use you illustratively. But when I married my beautiful wife, Julia, we have a lot in common, but there's a lot we don't. And one of the things we don't have in common is I do stupid things in the fridge. And don't forget, Peter and John are very, very different people, and God calls different people together in ministry to do his will. So I do stupid things in the fridge. So one particular day, Julia doesn't ask for much, but she loves these coffee creamers that are flavored. The hazelnut, the pumpkin spice, you know them. They're just really nice coffee flavors. And the little dispensers, of course, the marketing people are getting really creative. So the little dispenser has this little cute lip on the end, and I'm like, wow, does that ever pour nice? So, of course, I'm the type of person, you know, when you get to the end of the milk or the creamer, I leave, you know, 2 millimeters in there to go, you know, I'm not selfish. I didn't take it all. But I am. So this time I just emptied it. I washed it out, and I thought, oh, that's a really nice dispenser. I'm going to put my, because I like really sweet things, I'm going to put my maple syrup in the dispenser. Now, normally I'd get out the Sharpie and write maple syrup, but I don't. I forget that day, and I put it back in the fridge. We're having breakfast Saturday morning. Julia's very excited. She goes to the fridge to get the creamer. The coffee's poured. I'm not thinking until she gets the creamer over to her coffee, and then I'm like, oh, no. And you know when you get to that point where you're about to say something, but it's too late? With your spouse or friends, and out comes the creamer, and I just hear my wife go, ugh! It's not creamer. It's thick, nasty maple syrup that I love. She doesn't. She's careful with the sweet stuff. Well, she looks over at me, and I look at my dad, because you know how I feel, Dad. And of course, you see the look on his face, a big smile nodding away there. It's like, you know that moment where you wish there was someone else in the room to blame? So I'm looking around for someone to blame, and all I can see is myself in the mirror, and I'm going, oh, boy. And like the man of God I am, I go, oops, I'm sorry. And like the loving, kind, abounding in steadfast love and mercy, my wife looks at me like my mother used to and says that beautiful phrase, you will be the death of me. Can you imagine Peter and John, these polar opposites? Peter's always talking, always answering, always engaging. John is passive and pensive and hanging out with Jesus and thinking. And he's a thinker and he's pensive, where Peter's all fire, wing, force. I love it when God says, this is the raw material. I can not only take your gifts and your talents and the things you've worked hard at and use them for my kingdom. I can even take your buffooneries and your stupidity and use that for my kingdom. Peter, a few weeks ago, has just said, I don't know the man. And if you read the scriptures carefully, he drops a few F-bombs and says, I, expletive, don't know the man. He denies him to his face. And I don't know if you've made any things that you deeply, done anything or said anything that you deeply regret. But it's amazing how Jesus takes Peter a couple weeks later, makes him a meal, brings him in and says, listen, feed my sheep. And when the God of the second chance taps you on the shoulder and says, I'm making all things new, you can feel the excitement in Peter's heart as they go up to the temple to pray. Two opposites heading to the temple to pray. What a beautiful picture. Question for you, question for me. Who are you walking with to the temple, to the park, to the coffee shop, to your job, and you're in constant prayer? You got a good prayer partner? I got a few. It's a beautiful thing. If you don't, find someone and say, would you pray with me? Peter and John, opposites, following Jesus, praying together, and they go to the temple. And for those of you who find church extremely boring, extremely controversial, and it's like, ugh, why am I even here? It's amazing that Peter and John go to a very boring, very apostate, very false religious system, that the temple curtain has just been torn in two. And now they're actually bringing the temple, because the living God is in them. They're bringing the temple to the temple. Someone mentioned it to me this morning. You know, you should come to church to give rather than to receive. I like that. Peter and John are going to the place of prayer to receive and to give. And it's the ninth hour. Easy to just walk by that. It's the ninth hour and go, what's the ninth hour? It says it's the time of the evening sacrifice. King James Version uses oblation, evening sacrifice. 9 o'clock is the evening sacrifice. You want a beautiful psalm to memorize if you are into that sort of thing? Psalm 141, let my prayer be set before you as incense. That's why the Catholics still have the priest rolling down the aisle, winding that little thing. I almost got hit by that one day. It's pretty wild, but it's an image of a prayer rising to God, and God says, I love it when my people pray. I'm in charge. All power and authority has been given to me. I can do what I want, when I want. I'm God. But I love it when my people partner with me to pray. It's the ninth hour. It's the hour of the evening sacrifice. And I thought, what happens during the evening sacrifice? There's a couple of beautiful verses of the evening sacrifice that I discovered. And you'll love this. Do you remember Elijah? Prophets of Baal. They're supposed to be on the Israel team, but they're worshiping false gods. Happening today all the time. People on the team worshiping false gods. And Elijah says, enough. Either Yahweh is God or Baal is God. And only the Bible can reveal beautiful things like this. Do you know what the name Elijah, Eli-yah, means? The Eli is my God. The Yah is Yahweh. Yahweh is the covenant God of Israel. Elohim is the sky God who's out there that you'll hear a lot of people use that phrase today. We don't know if we can know him, but we want to. Yahweh is the covenant God of Israel, the God you can know. And Elijah actually uses his name, and he prays, God of heaven, would you reveal today that you are God in heaven, and I'm your servant. And he says, Elijah, he says his name. Either God is God, Yahweh is God, or Baal is God. And let these people know that you are turning their hearts back to you. And at the time of the evening sacrifice, Elijah says, bring down fire from heaven. And the sacrifice is consumed. It's a moment of complete transition for God's people where they go, wow, the sacrifice is consumed and I can enter into relationship with God. Do you know another time the evening sacrifice is mentioned in the Bible? Matthew 27. And Jesus cried out, "Eli, Eli, my God, lama lama sabachthani, why have you forsaken me?" And the sacrifice was consumed on the cross. And it says God was reconciling himself to the world on the cross. He was in it, reconciling himself to the world. They're going to the temple at the ninth hour, demonstrating that beautiful theme that Jesus is now ready to live in the temple of your body and make changes that you could never, ever do on your own. The law was very difficult to obey. There were 613 of them, and they were tough to obey. And God just says, just trust me. I'm going to give you a brand new heart. And a man lame from birth, verse 2, was being carried, whom they laid at the gate daily, that is called Beautiful. Josephus, the historian, says this gate, Beautiful, was called Nicanor. And it is a particular gate in the temple where lots of people would go because it had beautiful, ornate stones in it. And it makes sense that if you're begging and you need money, you would go to a place where there's lots of traffic. A couple of verses later in chapter 4, we discover this man is 40 years old, lame from birth. And whenever you see someone who's blind from birth or lame from birth or something's wrong from birth, you know that Jesus is going to do what we call a messianic miracle to validate God is with us, Emmanuel. God is with us. And this man's 40 years in a very, very stressful, difficult position, and he's learned the language of the day just to ask for alms. I've heard a Southern Baptist preacher say, he asked for alms, God gave him legs. So we're gonna get there in a minute. And he's doing what you would normally do at a beautiful gate. And people would do that. And I know that you've walked by people, as I have, whether it's a squeegee kid in Toronto or someone who's not doing too well or someone who has a disability. And it's hard to engage. Sometimes we live in a world where you got to be careful. You can't just walk up and, can I pray for you or touch people? And I know that we have those little gymnastics, but Peter's just so confident. He walks over and it says, this man saw Peter and John, verse 3, going into the temple. Verse 3, he saw Peter and John going into the temple. Well, how many people are watching you and I walking into the house of prayer? How many people are watching our lives and noticing that the Son of the living God is within and with, mighty to save? It's a privilege being in this church. There's a couple of new people here today. And Ruth Ann, this is the kind of church that when someone says, I'd like prayer, it's like wolves on caribou. They're around, boom. It's wonderful. And I notice the ministries that happen outside of Sunday morning around here are quite beautiful. And I'm thankful for that. So people are watching, and they go into the temple. He's asking for alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John. Right? You know the old, you guys ever see this? I'm going to come down here so Linda can see me. You know, they get the old, he directs his gaze at him. And you can tell this is an eyewitness account. I love this. Why would, if you were writing a fairy tale or just a story, why would you say Peter looked at him and so did John? Peter's the leader. That's how God's equipped him. He's always initiating. And if you're a leader and you like to initiate and you're a control person, good, we can work with you. But make sure you got a John beside you who's praying, who's pensive, who's gentle. And in my family, my wife and I'm the gas, she's the brake, more often than not. Lately, she's been pulling out the emergency brake because I'm a reckless man. John's looking, Pete's looking, and I find it interesting that sometimes people who are deeply wounded and deeply hurting, whether it's a physical illness or a mental illness, look at them. Look at them. And look into their soul. And as you look at someone who's hurting, start to ask the Lord what he would have you do in that moment. Peter and John partnering together, and they look, and there he is. And Peter directed his gaze, and so did John. And of course, when you stare at someone, they look back. Isn't that beautiful? Verse 5. And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something. That's how this works. And Peter says, I don't have any silver. I like the King James here. Sorry, gang. Silver and gold have I none. But what I do have, I give to you. Not all the time, but sometimes having nothing but Jesus precipitates Jesus showing up in power. We live in North America. We have running water. We have food. You can order on your phone anything you want, when you want. It is an incredibly privileged society. And sometimes we need to understand that in incredibly privileged societies, God has said, I have blessed you beyond belief. And when you go to the uttermost parts of the earth, Afghanistan, Africa, where they don't have everything, this is where you'll notice God showing up in power. It's beautiful to watch how God works with his children. I'm thankful we get to minister here. I'm sure some of you have been to churches and places that are not so pleasant. Sometimes silver and gold have I none is a prerequisite for rise up and walk. But in North America, we don't like the silver and gold have I none part. Can I drive up in the BMW and start making statements of faith? Sometimes the poverty comes with the power. Just saying. Well, I love this, and I have to kind of, you got to feel this, because he took him by the right hand. So, silver and gold have I none, but in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And as he says, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk, it's almost simultaneously, he reaches out, is that your right hand? And he grabs the right hand. Again, why would you indicate the hand if it's not an eyewitness account of absolute truth trying to make a point? When you extend the right hand to fellowship, now don't forget, if you're a lame person in front of the temple, you're not allowed to go in because you have defects. You can't go in if you've got certain blindnesses, certain lame. So the rules are, here's who can come and offer sacrifices in the temple. Reason, it's pointing to Jesus, the perfect sacrifice. Don't feel bad. The Old Testament law is always pointing to Jesus. And when you see that, it doesn't seem so cruel and ridiculous, because it can. It can. So the right hand of fellowship means we're equal, you're on my team, and I'm welcoming you and all you are. The right hand of fellowship. But the name is interesting, because we've heard the name used often as a formula or a talisman. And if you're down south in the southern states, the name has about 5 A's to it. In the name of Jesus, right? And it's like, is there 1 A in name, or is there 20? I love the thief on the cross. Humble, gentle prayer. Sir, Lord Jesus, would you please remember me? It's gentle. You don't have to work up the hype. I just think Peter walks over and says, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And we know that the name doesn't mean title. Prime Minister, Nebuchadnezzar, it doesn't mean title. It means nature, essence, reputation. When you hear the word name, nature, essence, reputation, it's all that you are. If I hear the name now, Sharon Kleinsteiber, I don't think of the word Sharon and Kleinsteiber. I think of this amazing human being who mows the lawn for a couple hours a week, which is extraordinary, who sends me texts and prays for me and encourages me regularly, and has basically said, my house is your house, my life is your house. I'm giving you all that I am. Thank you for being our pastor. I pray for you. And there's a lot of people who do that here. Your name is your essence, your nature, and who you are. And basically, Peter says, ooh, a couple of weeks ago, I did not want to be associated with that man. I will never do that again, because that name is the name that is above every name. And at that name, one day every knee is going to bow, and every tongue is going to confess in heaven, on earth, and under the earth that Jesus Christ is Lord and King. And Peter knows the pain of denying that. And you can deny it by what you say. But I'm afraid most of the time I deny him by what I do or what I don't do. And he says to this broken man, and he touches him. If you're a love language person, you've got time, touch, words of affirmation, the gift of healing. It's all there. Rise up and walk. And this is my favorite part. It says, as he reached out his hand, ankles, God starts the joint healing from the bottom to the top. And it says he started to walk. And can you picture this guy? He's like, well, I've never walked before. And then he's like, leaping and jumping. And then he's praising. You know, it's funny because the lepers receive the healing, and they just walk away and they don't say thank you. One comes back and says thank you. This guy's like, I can walk. And I picture that scene at the end of A Christmas Carol, Ebenezer Scrooge. I'm light as a feather. I'm happy as a schoolboy. You know someone read this. And he's like, oh, I'm not what I used to be. And he's all happy. He's giddy with the pure delight and joy of this healing. Carolyn, did you look at the fiddler? We got close to this fiddler this week. I have never seen an expression of pure... Kathy, you remember how that look on this guy's face? He was playing this fiddle like his life depended on it. It was pure joy. I really want your Christian experience to be like that. And oh, there was 40 years of God. What on earth are you doing? That's one of my biggest questions for the Lord. Why so long? I get the suffering piece. It's the length of time some people suffer that is really hard to deal with. My uncle wants to go be home with the Lord right now. And we went to visit him in the hospital. Ernie, if you're listening, we love you so much. I know you're ready to be with the Lord. Thank you for hanging in so graciously. And he wants to go be with the Lord. But every day he wakes up and he's a little stronger, and his family come and he's talking to everybody in the hospital and loving his... I've never seen a man ready to go out with such grace and kindness. The joy of the Lord is your strength. So this guy's giddy with joy, and this is the parts of the Bible that you can miss, and these are my favorite parts. It's my favorite verse in the whole passage. Verse 11, and I got to use some examples here. Verse 11. All right, we're going to get Peter and John here. Ruth Ann, I guess you better be Peter, because he gets crucified upside down. I know you're up for that. You can be John, Dad. He gets boiled in oil. You like deep fried stuff, so we'll make you John, okay? The beautiful thing about this passage is in verse 11, it says, if you can stand up here and pretend to be John for a sec, Dad, just face everybody. And Ruth Ann over here. Verse 11 says, he walked into the temple clinging. Did you read to Peter and John?
Yeah.
That beautiful?
Yes.
He's clinging to Peter and John because he's like, am I allowed to actually, is this happening? Can I go in here? Is this real? Easy, boss. You're getting deep fried in a bit. Be humble about it. And he walks in clinging. It's such an image. And my question is, thanks, actors, you may sit down. My question for you and my question for me is, when we come into the temple of God, whether it's at the coffee shop or who's clinging to you? Who's clinging to me? What a prayer. Lord, would you have some people see your life in me so rich that I would want to be with them? I've seen that here. I've seen that here. Jim, your buddy just left to England. What's his name, Jim? I meet John for the first time, and hi, John. He goes, I don't know the Lord. I'm a bit of an atheist, but Jim gave me a Bible and said, you need to come to church, so I'm here. Thank you, Jim, for having the courage to say, you need to be in the temple of God on a Sunday morning. And many of you do that naturally. Some, you have a bit of a more gentler side. You're not dragging people to church, but you're just ministering to them where they are, and that's great too. Clinging to Peter and John. And I love this. And the people, utterly astounded, ran to see what was going on. You want to pray for something for our church? May people see Jesus in us and run, utterly astounded at what God's doing in our midst. Wouldn't that be great? You know, George Beverly Shea is a singer-songwriter of the old days, and his mom would leave little verses and notes on his table, often. And one day, she left a little note on there, and he read the poem, and he said, wow, that would be a beautiful song. And George Beverly Shea took this little note and penned a song in 20 minutes, and it says, I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by his nail-scarred hands. Thanks, Ruth. I want you to just sing that, and while we meditate on the message, and just think about what God is saying and how he's touching you today so you can go in a hurting world and love on them. I'd rather have Jesus. Thanks, Ruthann.
When I was in Israel, I sang this song in the Garden of Gethsemane. And people fell on their faces. I'd taken 33 people in a bus tour to Israel. And it really wasn't the people who knew Jesus that were falling on their face. It was those that God had touched. And today, as I entered this place, I knew the presence of the Lord dwelt here. I knew that in the hearts of people, that many of you would give up what you had for Jesus. Let him speak to you today as I play this song and sing it for you, that you will measure your walk with the Lord and hear his voice today.
Stand than to be the king. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to his holy name than to be
always be known of our fellowship and our friendship circles that what we have, we will give you. Jesus, in him, to him, through him are all things. And we want you to experience him every minute of every day. We're going to transition to communion and sharing and announcements. And it's right on time. So if you need to sneak out and at any point in time you want to go to the washroom or anything like that, that's fine. You've been here for an hour. But we're going to have communion, a serious moment, and then we're going to have some announcements, and then I'll close out the day. And thank you, Kim, and the deacons and the leaders for doing our communion for us this morning. Thank you.